Lord, everyone. My, what a great day on July the 4th to be able to celebrate the independence and freedom of our country, and to celebrate most of all our freedom in Christ Jesus today. Praise God. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. We have a tremendous nation, have a beautiful state, and we proclaim our freedom. We talk about it so much, and I like to talk about it. But while we're talking about our national freedom today, there are many that are still bound in the chains of sin and darkness. But aren't you glad you've been liberated by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ today? Praise God. Praise God. My, what a privilege today to greet such a marvelous crowd, such a beautiful group of people. I'm happy to be a part of you. I'm happy to be a part of this camp meeting. Of course, this is not my first camp meeting. And you can hear some things so much until you almost get to thinking you were there or you was a part of it yourself, whether you really was or not. Now, it's a little hazy in my mind. I cannot remember. It seems to me that I was at one of the earliest camp meetings here, earlier camp meetings, whenever, before they even built the tabernacle. But I can well remember the old block tabernacle where the dining hall is at, and coming to camp meeting there. And then it was my privilege as just a 14-year-old boy to attend the first Louisiana District Youth Camp in the year of 1954. I did not have the Holy Ghost that year. I received the Holy Ghost the next year. In fact, I was 13 at that time, and come to the youth camp, and then attended many, many youth camps. And so coming to Louisiana camp meeting has been my life. Of course, I'm a native of this state. I was raised over in Gina. Most everybody there calls it Gina, but that's where I'm from. And so this has been my life. This has been my work, and I am still happy to be a part of the Louisiana district. Praise God. I feel honored and I feel humbled today, being a member of this district, to be asked to teach in this camp meeting. Now, if I say that I'm not capable, then you're going to say, well, he's trying to be so humble. If I say that I am able, you're going to say that I'm proud. All I'm going to say is that I have prayed and fasted, and I'm going to do what you would do. I'm going to do my very best today. Praise God. So I want to say to Brother Tenney, and I'm not going to go through this every day, okay? But let me say on the first day to our good district superintendent and to the district board that I appreciate your confidence in asking me. I will do my best. I appreciate you granting me the privilege and the opportunity to address this great camp meeting. And I have so many friends out there that are my peers, my contemporaries, that I deeply love and respect. Our elder ministers, God bless them. Brother Glass did such tremendous job this morning. Brother Johnson last night. My, we're blessed with preachers all over this campground. And here I am trying to preach to you, but I'm going to do my best today. And I want to say that I appreciate so much our leadership. We have a tremendous superintendent. Amen. We have the greatest. I love him and appreciate him so very, very much. God bless Brother and Sister Tenney for their hard work. I have one complaint against them. It's been a complaint almost ever since he's been superintendent, and since I've been a part of this district. I fuss at him and complain. He has a bad fault, and he won't listen to me, and that is he works too much, and he won't slow down. But we want him to slow down so he can serve us for many, many, many years. Praise God. So we love our superintendent. We love our leaders. God bless them. We appreciate our nation. We appreciate the leadership of our nation. God bless this great country. God bless this great camp meeting. Let's have a time this week. What do you say? Praise God. Praise God. I'm so happy to be a part of the work of God. God bless you. And I'm happy to be here today. I'm like a lady I mentioned in one of the minister's seminars several years ago. I had a lady in the church that was married to a drunkard. They lived together near 50 years. Well over 40 years, and so all of his life, all of their married life, he was a drunkard. Never could get him to come to church. Couldn't do anything with him as far as salvation. The lady was a precious lady and good saint of God, very, very faithful to every service. And so eventually, because of his habitual drinking, because of his age, finally the man passed away. I preached his funeral, had his funeral on Wednesday, and we was with the family and tried to comfort them in their loss. Thursday night, we had Bible study. I went to church on Thursday night, and I was a little bit early, and when I got there, this dear sister's car was at the church. We just buried her husband the day before. And I was a little surprised, went into the church, and she was there. I said, "Sister Junie, I'm surprised to see you here tonight. I'm glad you're here, but I'm surprised. Losing your husband, and I know you're in a state of shock and sorrow, and I wouldn't have felt bad if you had not come to church tonight, but I'm glad you're here." She waved her hand. She said, "Oh, Brother Coon," said, "I'm just so happy to be here. I don't know what to do." Said, "I'm tickled to death." She said, "I'm so glad to be rid of that old drunkard till I don't know what to do." Said, "I feel like a bird out of a cage." Said, "I'm tickled to death to be here tonight." Praise God. Well, I'm tickled to death to be here today. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad that nothing's happened to my companion, but I'm happy to be here today. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Well, we've had some great times on the campground. I've sang and shouted and cried and been preached under conviction, been in the altar, courted on the campground, been through the whole nine yards, and here we are today. Praise God. But there was a lady that used to come to youth camp. She's here with me today. She was a first-class coon hunter. She caught me in her trap, and I've been caught almost 28 years, so I guess that's all right, too. Praise God. Well, I hope I have something to say to you today that will bless you and help you, whatever your station in life, whatever your situation, whatever role you feel in life or a particular position that you feel. I noticed not long ago, and I don't know where you fit in all of this, but wherever you fit, I'm going to address my remarks to you today. I read the other day, our nation is pretty well designated everybody by initials and acronyms and all sorts of slang talk. I read the other day that society is divided into 8 segments. These are all identified by initials. First of all, there's the flyers. That's the fun-loving youth en route to success. Then there's the more famous group, the yuppies, the young urban professionals. And there's the buffies. That's the black urban professionals. And there's the wolves, the well-off older folks. And there's the grumpies, the grown urban professionals. There's the dinks, double income and no kids. And there's the silks, single income and a lot of kids. And there's the puppies, the poor urban professionals. Now, I don't know where you're at today, but I've come to try to teach to you the Word of God. All right, did you come to hear today? Praise God. Let's stand, if you will, and get right into the Word of the Lord and see what the Lord would have us to say and hear today from His Word. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6, if you would turn there with me, chapter 6 of Hebrews. I begin reading at verse 13 and reading down through verse 20. Now, I am not designated to be an evangelist or necessarily a preacher. I am to teach. So I'm going to try to slow down today and take my time and endeavor to do what I am designated to do, and that's teach the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. Why don't we all read out loud together today? Would you like to try that? See how that sounds. Pause at the commas, colons, semicolons, and we'll stay together, okay? Hebrews 6:13. "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end to all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And everybody said, praise the Lord for the word. And you may be seated. The Lord bless you. I want to talk to you today about an anchor of the soul. This is a very, very elementary topic, I understand. I'm sure that you have heard it addressed many, many times. But you and I today, as never before in this generation, in this time, need an anchor for our soul. At the last moment, I had someone make some little posters for me. Part of it's missing today because we had to do a little rearranging. But over here is a little poster that says your soul. In the center is a little poster that says God's Word. And then over here to my left is a little poster with an anchor on it that simply says hope. And on the little posters, there should be a couple of strands that run from your soul through the Word of God all the way over to the poster that says hope. They should be different colors. So if you could imagine a red and a blue or a red and a white strand that runs from your soul through the Word of God over to the hope that we have, then I want you to grasp that in your mind and understand what I'm talking about. I don't think that we need to delve into definitions so deeply with such simple basic thing as talking about hope, which is simply something that we expect or that we have a feeling that it's going to come and it's going to be a part of our lives after a while. Anchor, of course, is something that is very familiar to all of us. I was shocked some time ago when I was studying and reading to know that some anchors of some very, very large battleships weigh up to 21,000 pounds. I was shocked at that. But you know, whenever you've got something great to anchor, there has to be a tremendous ability of the anchor to hold in order for it to secure whatever you are anchoring. And the Bible tells us today that you and I have as an anchor of our soul a hope. Praise God. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when you begin to look at that verse, you find that faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. Now, my subject today is the things that we're hoping for, and that becomes the anchor of the soul. But that hope has to have something that gives it substance. It has to be built upon something. And the Bible says that faith is the substance. Praise God. I'm glad today for people that have faith in God. Amen. That believe God for His promise, and they believe His Word as He has promised to them. That word substance comes from a couple of root words. One actually is a prefix to the word, the little prefix sub, which means something that is under. And then the key part of that word is stance, which means something that you stand upon or a certain position that you take. It is the posture that you have. And so faith becomes the substance. It becomes the floor. And then we take a particular stance upon our faith and begin to believe God for things that we are hoping for. But that faith becomes the substance of the things that we hope for. That's the reason the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we are to build upon our hope. We are to take this foundation of faith, and begin to build upon this foundation of faith. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance godliness, and to godliness patience, and on up through brotherly kindness. And then he pops this sevenfold addition off with charity, that we are to add these things to our faith. But we start with the substance of faith. Let me tell you something today. If you don't have faith in God, then you are not going to hope for some things that you cannot see today. But if you have faith in God, I want you to know that you have got a substance upon which you can build today for some things that you're hoping for. Hallelujah! I've got a hope in God today. Amen! Amen! And so, as a result of that, I am building a hope upon faith in God. Amen! And so, you and I today, as children of God and as people of God, and I will be addressing my message and lesson each day primarily to those that are living for God. And my brother Glass told us, and such a smiting conviction struck my heart when he said it, that you already know as much as you need to know how to be saved and how to live for God. You know, I'm always, and you are too, trying to acquire knowledge and learn and reach out for something else. And my God, sometimes we're reaching out for things while we are ignoring doing what we already know we need to do. Amen. Sometimes I'm absent at seminars learning what I already know I need to be doing and need to be at home doing them. Amen. But I'm there trying to find out what I need to be doing and how to find time to do it all. But that's our dilemma today. But God help us to realize in this generation as saints of God that we are so tempest-tossed. There are so many problems that are assailing the church of the living God today. Now, if you're not under pressure, if the devil's not bothering you, you're not having any difficulties, and you're living for God and everything's smooth sailing, I sure would like to talk with you after this Bible lesson today. Amen. But if you have, or if you're having a few problems, in fact, a whole lot of problems, if you're having some difficulties, if everything's going wrong, if your world seems to be turned upside down quite often, then I've come to talk to you today and tell you that in this tossed world of trouble and strife, while the winds of difficulty, the winds of adversity are blowing, I want to tell you that there is a God that wants to give you a hope today as an anchor of the soul. Praise God. I've got something within me today that needs something to hold on to. My vision acquaints me with the transitory and the passing and the things that do not abide. I live in a world that is constantly changing. It's been my sad privilege to preach so many funerals, and I see generations come and go, and we see so many upheavals in life. And there's something in me that's crying and saying, oh God, I want something that will hold, and I want something to hold on to in the midst of the storms of life. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that God has given to His church an anchor of the soul. And that anchor of our soul today is the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know this anchor holds today, and it grips that solid rock when the storms are raging and the winds are blowing and the troubles are whirling around us. Thank God there is something that anchors our soul. Hallelujah. There's something that keeps us steadfast. That's the reason you're in the church. That's the reason you're still living for God. It's because I've got a hope, and it's a hope beyond this world. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you know, whenever the Lord began to give us something to anchor our soul, He didn't just throw out some little simple something and something without thought and without any deliberation. I'm happy to tell you today that we have the immutable counsel of God that has been given to us. Amen. His immutable counsel. Glory to God. Counsel that cannot be changed. I'm glad that God is immutable. He's an unchanging God. The Bible said every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither shadow nor variableness of turning. I want you to know Jesus Christ today never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. You know, this rock that we're standing on, Christ Jesus, today, many, many times I have felt myself tremble as I stood upon the rock. But I want you to know I've never felt the rock shake under me.
Praise God. I've never felt the foundation shifting. Praise God. We've got a hope that is sure today. We've got something that is steadfast. The immutability of God's counsel is the thing that excites me today about Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I read to you today that God made a promise to Abraham. And when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And then he went on and talked about the promise, and he said that men verily swear by the greater, and oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. And then God was willing to show abundantly unto the heirs of His promise the immutability of His counsel. Now God wanted to show us today, all of you, the immutability of His counsel, the heirs of promise. He wanted to show it to us. And so He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Now God wanted to give us something that would show the immutability of His counsel unto the heirs of promise, that we could have something steadfast. Because you see, we have fled for refuge, the Bible says. And we need to know when we're running for safety that we have something that is really, really steadfast. Amen. And so God said, all right, because of that, I'm going to give a promise. And not only am I going to give a promise, I'm going to confirm it by an oath. Now, when you begin to study the context of this particular passage, this passage finds its contextual roots in the fact that when God made promise to Abraham, now I want you to notice this today, when He made a promise, that was in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, Abraham was talking to God, and he said, "Now, God, I don't have an heir of my own loins, and so I guess the best thing," and this is in my own phraseology and terminology, he said, "the best thing I could do is just leave all of my inheritance to my servant that is here living in my house and serving me." And God made a promise to Abraham and said, "Abraham, I don't want you to do that. I'm going to give you a son out of your own loins." And so Abraham listened to that. Here he is, an old man. His wife is an older lady. And he's thinking and he's rationalizing that this is an impossibility. And so as he begins to talk with God and he listens to all of this beautiful promise of God, all of a sudden it dawns on him, well, now, how am I going to know that God is going to keep this promise? How do I know that God is going to keep His word? And so he begins to talk back to God a little bit, and he says, "Now, God, I want to know something about how I'm going to know this." Now, let me digress just a moment to tell you that in that time, or in the Old Testament times, there were three major types of covenants. There was the covenant of salt, there was the shoe covenant, and there was the blood covenant. Now, there were many, many different types and kinds of covenants, but these were some of the three major types of covenants. And so God was going to enter into a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham was questioning him, said, "Now, God, I want to know how this is going to be." Now, remember, God had already given him a promise. How many of you believe God keeps His promises? Would you say amen? Has God kept His promises to you? Say praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He keeps His promises. You and I know that He keeps His promises. But here's Abraham, and he said, "Now, God, I've got to have something that will let me know." And so, you know what the Lord told him? He said, "Listen, Abraham, I want you to offer me a sacrifice. I want you to get a heifer and a she-goat and a ram and a turtle dove and some pigeons, and I want you to take these animals, and I want you to split them in half, and I want you to divide them. Lay half of the heifer over here and half over here and half of the she-goat over here and half over here, and lay the turtle doves and the pigeons here, and the ox, I want you to divide all of that and lay one side over here and one side over here." Now, in the Old Testament, what they did with this blood covenant, they would take an animal and they would split it in two, and they would separate the parts. And then if I was making a covenant with Brother Whaley, come up here, Brother Whaley. Brother Whaley and I is making a covenant together, and we're going to make an oath, and we're going to swear to one another. Now, I promise you that I'm going to do something, and you promise me you're going to do something, but we're going to bind this with an oath. We're going to bind it with a covenant that actually there's going to be blood that's going to be hanging over our heads if we don't keep our promise. Now, you understand that. Very, very serious. And so he and I enter into a covenant, and we take an animal, slay it, and the blood is shed. Lay this animal one part over here and one over here. And then I get Brother Whaley by the hand and say, all right, let's go walking through this animal here. And we go walking through it, and when we get through it, our oath is confirmed. Our covenant is confirmed. And if you break it, my brother, you're going to be in trouble, because that is like the blood of this sacrifice that is hanging over our heads. And not only we promise now, brother, but we have made a covenant. We have sworn together that we're going to do it. And so God said to Abraham, now, I want to make a covenant with you. I want to assure you that my promise is going to be good. And so he said, now you get the animals, and we're going to walk through them together, and we're going to make a pact, you and I. Praise God. Because I want you to know that what I tell you is the truth, and you can count on it. Praise God. And so I can see old Abraham as he gets his sacrifice. He's got a half of a goat here and a half a goat there. And he's got a half a cow here and a half a cow there. And he's got a turtle dove here and a pigeon over there. And he's got a half a ram over here and a half a ram over there. And I imagine he's just all excited. And he says, you know, the Lord, me and him's going to walk through that thing together, and I'm going to swear to God, and God's going to swear to me. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. I like that. Old Abraham, he gets it all fixed, and all of a sudden God just zaps him on the head, and he falls out of sleep. Go over and go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. I'm sorry. No, don't go to sleep. And old Abraham, he just falls out and goes to sleep. Now, that's exactly what God wanted him to do. Amen. And so, pardon the way that I'm expressing this today. God looked all over the place. He looked at Abraham and said, you're not bigger than me. What's the use of me swearing to you? And he looked up in heaven. There's Michael and Gabriel and all the angelic host. And I wonder who can walk through this with me together, that I can make a promise and I can swear. You know, because you see, men swear by something that's greater. Amen. You see, if me and you's going to swear, we're going to swear by this blood sacrifice, the element of life that's greater than us. And men swore by the temple, they swore by the gold of the temple and all of that because they thought it was greater. God looked around and he said, I wish I could find somebody that was big enough that would back up my oath and confirm it. But he looked all around and there was nobody. And you know what he did? He said, I'm going to swear by myself. There's not anybody any bigger than me. And the Bible said a smoking lamp and a furnace went walking through that sacrifice. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, God was swearing by himself. And he was telling you, I'm big enough to do what I'm telling you I'm going to do. Praise God. And he's still big enough in 1988, hallelujah, to do everything he said he would do. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Oh, what a great God we're serving today.
Praise the Lord, everybody. And once again, what a tremendous message. First half of the message, Anchor of the Soul, by Brother Crawford Coon. Great things we heard tonight, and I'm so sorry tonight I'm not able to communicate very well on our broadcast. Just came down the mountain quite literally. I'd love to share this with you on another day. I'll tell you a little bit about it right now. There I was here in Orange County. We had the opportunity to go to the highest peak, I believe it's called San Antonio's Peak. And I was able to see down the valley, look at all the way down the coast, all the way to Catalina on a clear day. And what a tremendous view it was. Now I'm going to just say this. It has nothing to do, perhaps, with the message that we just heard. But as I looked down that mountain peak, I began to think, the clarity that we receive when we receive, get to a certain altitude in God. The clarity, the vision, the clarity of vision that we receive when we're able to go up to the mountaintop, to the mountain peak. And everybody wants to be on the mountain. Nobody wants to be in the valley. Nobody wants to be in that valley of sacrifice, of suffering, and of depression. But when we get to that mountain peak, oh, how much sweeter it is, and how much clearer our vision is when we're able to see way out into the ocean. Hey, everybody, He is our anchor of the soul. El Señor es la ancla de nuestra alma, the anchor of our soul. With that said, everyone, I'm out here in the open air. I'm not able to clearly communicate. I know there's a lot of environment sound effects, but I want to thank everybody that's on the call tonight. And be prayerful, be fasting. There's been a lot of prayer, by the way, that's been taking place. There's been a lot of fasting that's been taking place. And there's many miracles that are already on the way. I just feel the Holy Ghost saying that right now. Let's continue to pray with that faith. There are many, many needs that continue to abound in our church. And Pastor Carl talked about it this last Sunday when he said, hey, revival is here. And when revival comes, the problems will come. The situations will begin to arise. And I know that there are several things that are taking place. And someone is telling me that it's rather staticky. So let me take Brother Vic off. And I hope this is a little bit better. Thank you so much for letting me know. Someone just texted me to let me know that. But once again, Pastor Clark talked about how that when revival comes, the problems come, and the situation comes, the negative situations come. But it was enlightening when Pastor Clark mentioned that we've learned in recent years, when we got hit with a lot of things, we decided, oh, we got to take care of these issues. We got to put out these fires. And that seemed to drain us of our time, our energy, and our focus. And then revival kind of slipped through our hands. Well, we've learned our lesson now. We're going to continue our focus on revival. We're going to continue our focus on revival with all the problems coming at us, with all the situations coming at us. But now we're learning how to have faith to be able to get through all of these negative situations, because we're going to continue to focus on revival. And that's exactly what the Lord is teaching us, and that's exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to leave off with this note. For those of you that were not on the call last Thursday, as I got into prayer right before our devotion on Thursday night, Sister Jessica came to me as I was praying, and she made a comment to me about a message from Brother Pence she heard about a year or more ago, where he said, revival begins with humility. Revival begins with humility and with sacrifice. And if you did not listen to Thursday night's devotion, please, please listen to it. And I'm not saying it because I was speaking that night, but it was truly an anointed message. The Lord spoke through us. Brother Sid was on the call, and I was able to share some things bilingual, English and Spanish. I'm feeling the anointing just talking about it. But revival begins with humility and with sacrifice. And there's many of ours that are suffering right now, going through many different trials and hardships right now. And I feel sometimes that the Lord is bringing this revival about because of them, because of the things that they've gone through. Sister Ponce has gone through things in our church for quite a while, more than 2 years now. There's others like her that have been dealing with a lot of situations in their personal lives. But I believe that it is blessing our church. The Lord is sending us revival due to these faithful that have been going through a lot of hard things. I didn't plan to talk about that tonight, everyone, but again, if you didn't listen to Thursday night's devotion, please listen to that devotion. Please be praying, continue to be fasting this week, and we look forward to seeing everyone on Wednesday night. God bless all of you. Dios me los bendiga todo en el nombre de Jesús. Amen.